This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Internet, so you've all been duly warned. Remember to turn off your cell pages. Welcome all guests. And would the pages come to the microphone and introduce yourself, where you're from? It's working. Go ahead.
I'm Aaron Deitch, and I'm from Siston.
I'm Brooke Anderson, and I'm from Rapid City.
Good to have you guys. Welcome. And I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Cronin. Frericks. Hoffman.
Here.
Kopp.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Shrimp.
Here.
Sly.
Here.
Sorensen. Street.
Here.
Van Gerpen. Verschio. Vanneman.
Here.
Bruner.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Quorum is present. Approval of the previous minutes. Motion by Vanneman, second by Street. All in favor of the motion, second by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved. Remind everybody that intends to testify today, which is probably one person, and he already signed in. So, thank you for that. We've got four bills on the agenda today. We have a few members in other committees. I've got to step out in a minute, so I'm going to turn the gavel over to Representative Vanneman, and she will take it from here.
Okay, we are ready to open public testimony on Senate Bill 53, an act to modify the type of financial documents required for a grain buyer's license and to declare an emergency. Are there any proponents?
Morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Is this on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. My name's Jim Melhoff. I'm the director of the Warehouse Division for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission, and we are bringing Senate Bill 53, which is the Senate Act to modify the type of financial documents required for grain buyer licensing and also to declare an emergency. Section 1 of this bill simply adds language that would allow the commission to allow the filing of other financial documents other than a bond, which is currently required by statute. It's a very narrow change. It would only allow that in the case of a grain buyer being under Chapter 11 reorganization, bankruptcy, and it removes the requirement that it be done through the rulemaking process. And Section 2 of this bill declares an emergency. The reason for this bill is directly related to the Verisun bankruptcies and some of the issues that are occurring, particularly down in Marion. When they originally licensed, they licensed the Aurora plant, but due to a misunderstanding in the statutes, they did not license the Marion plant. They had a procurement agreement with another licensed grain buyer. Within that agreement, there was an agency agreement, which actually should have required them to be licensed, and they were not. When the dark clouds appeared on the horizon, the terms of that agreement became more clear to all the parties involved, obviously. So what we have now is there's producers down there who are holding contracts. If at some point, I know we discussed it earlier in the year, ways for them to get that facility licensed so that they could start performing on those contracts. With the changes that appear to be coming, Valero has issued a bid, a stalking horse bid for the legacy plants, which includes the Aurora plant, but not the Marion one. But they are also showing interest in Marion, but they have not put forth a stalking horse bid on that. So it's possible that the Marion plant could remain a property of Verisun, and they may want to license it. And this bill would simply allow them, because of their bankruptcy problems, if they were not able to get a bond or if they had to docket it with the bankruptcy court and go through discovery and posting to creditors, it could be a lengthy process. And this would allow them, if other factors are favorable, for us to issue a license if they would post a letter of credit or a cash bond as security, or a cash CD rather than a bond. So that is the purpose of this bill, and course, the emergency clause is just so we could get that done as soon as possible, if need be. And with that, if anybody else has any questions, I'd be happy to take them when you're ready to give them.
Okay, thank you. Any other proponents? Any opponents to Senate Bill 53? Seeing none, we will go to committee questions. Any questions of the committee? Representative Hoffman?
I make a motion we do pass.
Okay.
I'll skip right into it.
I guess so. Seeing no committee questions, we will go into committee action. And we have a do pass motion by Representative Hoffman. Is there a second? Seconded by Representative Sly. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, we will we had a do pass motion, and the secretary will call the roll. If you're in favor, say aye, and opposed, say nay.
Representative Hoffman.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Sly.
Aye.
Sorensen.
Aye.
Street.
Aye.
Verschio.
Aye.
Vanneman.
Aye.
Madam Chair, we have a unanimous vote of 9.
Thank you. Senate Bill 53 has passed. Representative Hoffman, would you like to carry that on the floor?
Yes, I would.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Now we are ready to take the public testimony on Senate Bill 54, an act to revise how certain rates are determined for grain warehouse operators. Any proponents?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Jim Melhoff with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission, Warehouse Division. Senate Bill 54, act to determine how grain warehouse rates are set. This bill came out of a warehouse review committee that the commission appointed to review the warehouse division's operations. One of the recommendations that was prior to the last session where we brought quite a few bills. One of the recommendations of that committee was to bring a rate case. The current maximum rate for warehouses has not been modified since 1998. In the course of doing the research to prepare for a rate docket before the commission, we discovered that South Dakota is one of the few states left that is regulating storage rates for grain warehouses. Nebraska is one of the other ones, and Kansas is the third, and they are in the process of also deregulating and getting out of the business of regulating it. Warehouses that are licensed under the USDA Warehouse Act are largely unregulated in the area of rates as well. The problem with the current rate, obviously, is that since it's not been changed, is warehouses are unable to recover the cost of storing grain, cost of concrete, steel, utilities, bond coverage with the volatility as commodity prices rise, the cost to procure bonds to cover their storage requirements has also gone up. Labor. One of the things that this has caused in the warehouse industry, it's very common. Those of your producers have heard of price later or deferred payment. And we refer to these as VCS, voluntary credit sale contracts, which when you enter into these, when you sell your grain on a price later contract, you have the opportunity to price it at a later date and defer the income to another tax year if you want, which you would also be able to do that with a warehouse receipt. So what's happening is most warehouses strongly encourage, practically require that producers put their grain on these in lieu of putting them on a grain warehouse receipt. There's other advantages for the warehouse to do that, but one of them is that they often have a service fee attached to a price later contract that reflects more accurately the costs of of storing the grain. The current rates are, our current storage rates are 38 cents a year, 0.1042 cents per day. A lot of these VCS contracts priced later, they'll have fees, you know, upwards of 50 cents on them, which per year per bushel, which is more a more accurate reflection of costs. In this bill, we also we require warehouses to file their rates with us at the time of licensing. We allow them to change them up to four times in a year. Obviously, the volatility in the markets that we've seen over the last couple of years, we want to let them have some flexibility. And the reason that we require them to file it so that producers can have the confidence that they're being treated the same as all the other producers, and you know, the board members, the co-op board members, they'll know that those guys aren't getting a better deal, or the manager's brother-in-law, or, and not that that would occur, but the confidence there. And the reason we limit the amount of times that they can change the rates is a lot of times on the VCS contracts, they'll adjust those if they really want to get grain in. They'll cut the fees or reduce the fees on their price later contract. We would just like the rates for storing to be a reflection of the of what it costs to do it, and not to be adjusted to affect the behavior of the producer. And with that, I'll close my testimony. If anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them when the time comes.
Thank you. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 54?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Kathy Zander with the South Dakota Grain and Feed Association. As Representative Bruner calls it, I'll just throw in a me too. So if you have any questions, I'll be happy to try to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Brenda Foreman, South Dakota Association of Cooperatives. Keep it brief, short, and sweet, and to the point. Me too.
Thank you. Any other proponents for Senate Bill 54? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 54? Seeing none, I will open to committee questions. Okay, Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't mean this to be prejudicial at all, but for Mr. Melhoff, if you could tell me, please, what was the main reason that my good friend Senator Klocek voted against this bill in both the Senate Ag Committee and on the Senate floor? If you would know that, I would love to hear it.
Madam Chair, I would be very reluctant to speak for Senator Klocek. He did express in committee some questions about being told a rate when he brought the grain in, and actually charged a different rate when he sold the grain.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You stated that the current storage rates are 31.1 cents. Is that per bushel or per hundredweight? What is that 31 cents?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
The storage rates is actually, it's 0.1042 cents per day, and that works out to 38 cents a year, and that's per bushel.
Okay, 38 cents a year per bushel then is what it works out to.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Sorensen.
I have one. I'm not sure it's a question, but a little bit of a reflection maybe. One place where I see a little bit of disagreement with, it's partly storage rates, it's partly, you know, some other questions, fees, and so forth. Sometimes we deliver our grain in the fall, maybe in October, to carry that grain over to the first of the year, it's might be like a 35 cent rate or whatever it is, and then if you wait another month, it's still that same rate. Another month later, it's still that same rate, and sometimes people are wondering, you know, storage to carry over to the first of the year, it should be less the closer you get to the first of the year. And some elevator managers explain that in ways that's very, very hard to understand. And that's just one of the many issues that sometimes clouds what should be easy discussions and so forth. But and I don't know if you probably are aware of what I'm talking about, but that kind of muddies the water a little bit. And sometimes it isn't just the storage rates that goes into that charge. But I know that sure creates a lot of confusion for some people sometimes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, how about committee discussion and or action?
Entertain a motion do pass on this bill.
Thank you. Representative Hoffman made a do pass motion. Is there a second? Second. Representative Shrimp? Okay, there's a do pass motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor of the motion say aye. Those opposed say nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Frerichs?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Sorensen?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Verschio?
Aye.
Bannerman?
Aye.
Madam Chairman, we have a unanimous vote of 10.
Thank you. Senate Bill 54 has passed. Representative Shrimp, would you like to take that on the floor? Okay, we are ready for public testimony on Senate Bill 55, an act to revise the requirements regarding the licensing and regulation of grain buyers. Are there any proponents?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Jim Melhoff. I'm the director of the Warehouse Division for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. Senate Bill 55, bill to revise requirements regarding licensing of grain buyers. Section 1 of this bill clarifies that isolated purchases of grain for resale by producers who do not hold themselves out to be grain buyers or in the business of reselling grain are not violations of this chapter. And also we define in statute who a producer is. Last year when we brought our bills, we had eliminated this language from the statute, and it was this committee told us to go back and take a look at it and try to do a better job to protect producers who sometimes need to act as a reseller of grain. The reason that this language was originally put in statute was for producers who enter into contracts to deliver grain, and for whatever reason they're unable to meet the contracts. A lot of times it's weather related, if they hailed out or a drought and they're not able to produce the grain. There's been instances where a father and son are kind of passing the torch, you know, kind of in that overlap area. I've had situations where both went out and contracted delivery of grain without discussing it with the other, so they actually contracted more than they could produce. So this was put in there so that they could go out and purchase grain and fill their contracts. Now, unfortunately, over the years, the leeway in that statute has prompted some individuals to get into the grain business without really getting into the grain business, so to speak. We had an incident a little over a year ago where an individual actually hired somebody away from a licensed grain dealer and kind of invaded a niche market that this licensed grain dealer had, selling grain into the spawn market, the mushroom market. They buy millet for their grain beds. So when we approached this gentleman, he first said that he was not selling grain, he was selling seed. When we pointed out that he wasn't following the licensing and, you know, labeling and testing requirements required to call it seed, well, then he said, well, there were occasional sales. To make a long story short, we went on, and he had an attorney for over a year, and all the while he just continued to do this. this year we've had a situation in South Dakota where a gentleman from Iowa, I believe it is, has come up through this region and entered into delivery contracts to deliver grain at harvest time. And then he just kind of disappeared, and his address was a post office box in Omaha at a UPS store. Then he called up later and then just requested to cancel the contract and citing National Grain and Feed Rules just to get a check for the difference because the commodity prices had gone down significantly. In years past, this scam has been used in other states where the markets went the other way, and in those cases, the warehouses were left holding the losses because they obviously hedged their positions. Tightening it up, I think, would help to curb this type of activity. It would certainly make it illegal intrastate to go purchase grain, because that's what's happened. Now, this guy has come out of the woodwork. We've had one South Dakota warehouse who's refused to take delivery. In fact, when he got suspicious and he couldn't find this gentleman, when the market evened out for him, he lifted his hedges and just got out of it. Well, now this guy's come back and he's demanding that they take his grain, and he wants to buy it from someplace else, which he wants to buy it from Iowa, which we don't have any authority over. But this would stop that sort of activity from happening intrastate. So that's the reason why we think it should be tightened up. It still allows producers who need to buy grain to buy grain and to meet their contracts. And it defines who a producer is, which is somebody who's in the business of producing grain. Section 2 of this bill adjusts the table used to determine the bonding requirements for a grain buyer and removes the cap on the bond amount. Last year we made pretty significant changes to how we calculated bond. Prior to last July, it was based on the number of facilities that a grain buyer operated, which was not a fair way or a correct way to do it. And under the old situation, entity that operated three locations and purchased $2 million worth of grain would have had to carry a $150,000 bond, $50,000 for each location, whereas another high-volume grain buyer who operated one location, an ethanol plant, would be a good example of that. You know, they could purchase $100 million worth of grain and only have to have a $50,000 bond. So we changed that and based it on grain purchases, and we developed a scale that would set what your bond requirement would be prior to licensing, and we capped it at $300,000. At the time that we did that, we thought that was a fairly prudent thing to do. There was only three grain buyers in the state who exceeded that cap, and volatility in the market obviously has pushed things up and some consolidation that now, at this time, there's seven grain buyers who exceed the cap, and by the time we get renewals next year, we expect that there'll be several more when this year's purchases are included in it. So we adjusted the cap. The scale now goes up to $500,000, and the cap is knocked off it, which requires $25,000 bond for each additional $10 million worth of grain purchase over $100 million. And we understand that even at the higher rates that the bond coverages in place will not, you know, if there's a major failure, that there's a good chance that the bond coverage would not make everybody whole. But the theory, and I believe in the theory and continue to, is that the bond coverage is there for the prevention. You get the bond coverages up high enough, you get the surety companies reviewing the financial statements, along with the warehouse division. We also review their statements. You just get that extra bit of scrutiny, and in that way, it weeds out the grain buyers who probably don't have strong enough balance sheets to be in the business and to be given that trust. Getting ahead of myself. Section 3 of this bill repeals the arrest authority of inspectors. Currently, our inspectors have the authority to arrest grain buyers who they catch violating some of these rules. It's our intention to repeal this last year through a drafting error on our part. We repealed this section, this statute in the grain warehouse section twice and left it in the grain buyer section. So this would correct that. PUC inspectors are not law enforcement officers. We don't have the equipment or the training to take people into custody, and it would just be better if it was off the books. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions when the time comes.
Any other proponents to Senate Bill 55?
Good morning again. I'm Kathy Zander, the Executive Director and Lobbyist for the South Dakota Grain and Feed Association, and I work for an 8-member board that is actively involved in the grain handling business. And Representative Bruner, this is kind of a half of me too. Not a full me too, a half of me too. The reason we're saying that is we're taking a neutral position on this bill because we recognize with the unprecedented increase in grain prices that the PUC sees a need to increase the bond limits. But on the other hand, it's really difficult for us to advocate something that will increase costs for our members. So again, we're neutral in the position, see what PUC needs to do, and we'll do what we need to do. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Senate Bill 55.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Matt McCauley. I'm a lawyer from Sioux Falls and a registered lobbyist for South Dakota corn growers. We're fully supportive of the PUC efforts in this regard and candidly with all the bills that the PUC has before this committee this morning. Our compliments to the PUC for keeping a close eye on this issue with the fluctuation in the price of grain, and also the last sentence of Section 2 relative to the additional security and the flexibility granted to the PUC. And I personally am excited about Section 3 and having that arrest provision repealed from the code. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any other proponents?
Brenda Foreman, registered lobbyist for South Dakota Association of Cooperatives, rise in support of Senate Bill 55. The first part in dealing with some of the issues that Mr. Melhoff had talked about in terms of the grain handling and some of those issues that took place last year with the fluctuating market and contracts is something that is very important. The increase in bonding, again, something you're not necessarily always in favor of, but again, knowing the importance to the industry and the producers that are represented by both my cooperative members, it's important that we're all protected. And as just stated, it's kind of nice to know that they can't come out and arrest us anymore. So we do appreciate that change as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 55? Seeing none, are there committee questions? Representative Street.
Thank you. Mr. Melhoff. Since we're talking about raising the bond requirement, what does a $300,000 bond cost?
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
The rule of thumb in the bonding industry, there's a lot of factors that apply the strength of your balance sheet. Have an impact on what your actual premium rate is, but the rule of thumb is $500 for $50,000 worth of bond coverage, so that would be $3,000 for a $300,000 bond. Yes.
Pardon me, 1%. If you have a strong balance sheet.
Well, that's just kind of the rule of thumb. It could be more, it could be less, it could be significantly less, it could be significantly higher, but that's just kind of the.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we will go to committee discussion and or action.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. When I did my original testimony, I failed to mention the fact that we brought an amendment to this bill.
Okay.
One of our analysts discovered, he was reading through it, and he discovered a small technical error in the bonding requirements on page 3, line 2. we have the first class of a grain buyer. Those who purchase less than $2 million worth have to have a $50,000 bond. And then in the next section, it says those who purchase $2 million and one, and I forget what the next one is. But anyway, the error there is that we've excluded $2 million, so it's possible that somebody could be in there, and we just brought an amendment to correct that.
Okay. Does everybody have a copy of the amendment? Okay. Any questions on the amendment and what it does? Representative Ferris?
I move Amendment 55, Jason Apple.
Thank you. Representative Ferris moved the Amendment 55JA and seconded by Representative Bruner. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay. Amendment has passed. Okay. Now we are ready for further discussion and or action.
Move to pass.
As amended?
As amended.
Representative Bruner has moved do pass as amended. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Representative Hoffman. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor of the do pass motion as amended will say aye. Those opposed, nay. And the secretary will call the roll.
Representative
Ferris?
Aye.
Hoffman? Aye. Hoffman? Aye.
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
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 Vanaman?
Aye.
Bruner? Aye.
Madam Chair, the vote is unanimous. Thank you. Senate Bill 55 passed unanimous.
Madam Chair, move consent.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, on consent.
You're doing fine.
Okay, that brings us get out of practice. Brings us to Senate Bill number 56. Other proponents of Senate Bill 56. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, good morning. My name is Jim Melhoff. I'm the director of the Warehouse Division for the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. Senate Bill 56, an act to change certain references regarding grain dealer to grain buyer. Last year when we brought our legislation, the term was changed from grain buyer or from grain dealer to grain buyer to bring in processors. Previously, only those who bought grain for the purpose of resale were required to be licensed under our statutes. The emergence of the ethanol and other processing industries, we changed the name of a grain dealer to a grain buyer. It also required those who buy grain for their own purposes or for end use, i.e. processors, ethanol industry, soybean crushing plants, et cetera, that they be licensed. When we did that, we failed to take a look at the statutes in some of the other chapters that allow the Corn Utilization Commission, the Soybean Council, and the Wheat Commission to enter into contracts with the Public Utilities Commission for us to perform checkoff audits during the course of our regular inspections. And Senate Bill 56 changes that language in the various other statutes that refers to that.
Thank you. Are there other proponents? Seeing none, other opponents? Seeing none, any questions? This is a tough one. No questions? Representative Street?
Yes. Are there any costs involved with this to become a, when someone has to become a grain, from a grain buyer to a grain dealer?
Mr. Chair, there's no costs in that. I mean, other than what the costs were, to get a grain dealer's license, the cost is $250. To get your license, and the cost for a grain buyer is the same.
Thank you.
Yep.
Other questions? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Malhoff. We'll move to committee discussion and or action. A motion to pass by Representative Verschio, second by Representative Shrimp. Comments on that motion, Representative Verschio? Anybody else? Comments? If not, the motion is due pass. All in favor will say aye. Opposed, no. Ask the Secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Frericks?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Sorensen?
Aye.
Street?
Aye.
Van Gerpen? Verschio?
Aye.
Vanneman?
Aye.
Bruner?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, the vote is unanimous.
Motion carried. 56 is, did I hear consent? I have a motion by Shrimp, consent. Second by Sorensen. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is on, or bill is on consent. If anybody so desires, I don't think it would be wrong to go back to the first two bills and put them on consent. If I wasn't here for the discussion, if everybody's satisfied that it's pretty simple, we can go back to Senate Bill 53. We have a motion by Sly, consent on 53. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought that's what you said. I just missed it. Okay, we have a motion and a second by Sly and second by Sorensen. Senate Bill 54 on consent. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried. We're on consent. And I believe they have been assigned for caucus discussion if it needs to be. So very good. Brings us to the end of our calendar. Do we have any other bills up?
No, we don't.
Have nothing up? Okay. I guess just watch the watch your schedule as far as if any bills should show up or resolutions or whatnot that we have talked about. Be aware of the need to discuss summer study issues. At some point, we'll have a short meeting, maybe Thursday. I know the Ag Unity people want to service breakfast one day, and it's usually very good breakfast, so it gives us a chance to visit about summer study issues at that point also, and anything else that should come up. So if there's nothing else, Representative Sorensen.
And we're all proud of the work we do on committees, we've had some interesting bills. I just have a comment, and I don't know who this should go to or if I should expect any response or not, but I find it a little bit interesting that maybe not once, or if my memory wrong, have the cameras been in here in this room. It bothers me that do they think that agriculture is so mundane that we deserve no attention in a state where agriculture is our number one industry? And I don't know what that says. I don't know if it says that the rest of the public doesn't care about ag issues, or if all the real big issues are handled somewhere else. But I just found it amazing this year that the cameras probably weren't here once.
Yeah, sometimes you take the good with the bad. They're not here to catch us saying things that we shouldn't say, but it's true. And it's long been one of my pet peeves with the with public broadcasting when they send their cameras up. And you watch State House, you'll see bills portrayed and issues portrayed that, where did they even see that? I thought I was in that committee and I didn't even catch any of that. And you know, I think sometimes they come up and want to get a few minutes of footage, and 7:45 is too early for them, so they don't come to the Ag Committee. And then what you see on State House, maybe, you know, some mundane little bill that nobody really cared about, and we're dealing here with a $19 billion industry in South Dakota, and these are issues that there's a lot of things you can do without. I don't know anybody that couldn't do without an attorney, couldn't do without a car if they had to, couldn't do without a lot of things, but you can't do without food, not for very long anyway. I think that it kind of reflects the attitude sometimes other floors of this building, that agriculture kind of gets taken for granted, which is sad, but we know that everything we're saying is on the internet, and people can go back and listen, and we have a good time in this committee, and I think the cameras have missed a lot of very good comments and very good committee work. I commend this whole committee for their work, and we know it's saved, and we know it is important, and we'll just go from there.
Mr. Chairman?
Anybody else? Representative Verschio.
Yeah, I might have a very reasonable reason for that. And that is that the Representative Street, Representative Sorensen, and Representative Kopp and myself probably pose quite a challenge for the glare on the camera. So.
With that, I would entertain a motion.
Mr.
To
Chairman,
one more thing. Hoffman.
I just want to mention to my good friend from Hill City that thank you for not mentioning Hoffman in that last remark.
Now, a motion to adjourn. Representative Shrimp, motion to adjourn, second by Sorensen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We are adjourned. Thank you.